Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. Avengers Doomsday will come out May of 2026, followed by another Avengers movie in May of 2027.
And another three for every year in perpetuity until we all die. Oh,
yeah. Right, because it works.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And a good Monday morning to you. Vince is back tomorrow. Eric here along with Adam Roberts, fresh off his bachelor party weekend. You look all right.
Do I? We went paintballing on Saturday, and I forgot the golden rule. When you're outside for more than an hour, you got to put on sunscreen.
My neck's a little
stiff this morning.
Oh, crispy.
Great weekend, though. A lot of my old friends from lacrosse came down. Wedding's less than 3 months out, so we'll be getting married in mid-October.
It's getting real now. Debbie Lasga, of course, has our roads. Thanks to Tiff Pua for handling everything in the newsroom today. And, of course, Greg Pancake Hill doing everything else, including sports today. So thank you, Greg. But again, Vince is back tomorrow. What are the stories that we're following? Another escalation of sorts. Although you're curious to see how this one moves forward. Renewed fears that the Israeli-Hamas war is going to spark something bigger as far as a bigger conflict goes. This after a deadly airstrike on a soccer field. So Hezbollah has been firing missiles into the northern portion of Israel for a while now. And they hit a soccer field, killing 12 children in Golan Heights. ABC's Jordana Miller.
The prime minister cut his trip short in the United States, came back earlier. But at the same time, Israel is not interested in hitting so hard that we will see this escalate into a regional war, a declared war between Israel and Hezbollah. Hezbollah as well has signaled it is not interested in a war.
Yeah, both sides are like, hey, you know, we don't really need this to escalate. It was an accident, which sounds funny to say, but that's really what it was. It was just a misfired missile that hit the soccer field.
And you can see from Israel's perspective, historically, any nation that fights a two-front war, it just doesn't usually end up well. So I can totally understand the want for restraint. Obviously, pins and needles in this region. We're now nearing the 10-month mark since the October 7th attacks last year. And so we'll have to watch how this continues. But the last thing you want to see is more escalation.
And there will likely be some type of retaliation, CBS reporter Linda Gradstein.
Tensions between Israel and Hezbollah are running high after the Israeli cabinet authorized the prime minister to retaliate against Hezbollah. Analysts say that if Israel strikes Beirut, it could prompt a larger rocket attack by Hezbollah and lead to a full-scale war. But they said that if Israel limits its response to South Lebanon, there is a good chance Hezbollah will not respond.
Yeah, maybe they won't if they hit certain regions. So I guess that's what's happened already, but they're not sure if this is actually the reaction officially. Lebanon state-run news media is reporting that Israeli strikes killed a couple of people in southern Lebanon early this morning. And the report came as Israel's mulling this response. So they don't think the strikes this morning appear to be Israel's official response yet to this soccer attack. I guess I shouldn't call it attack, but it really was. A rocket hit a soccer field that killed 12 kids. So Israel obviously frustrated and angered about that and will retaliate at some point. We'll keep monitoring that situation. It is 6:14. A familiar face returns to American Family Field, and I'm not talking about Ryan Braun. That story next.
Now time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Yeah, the Brewers closing out a weekend series against the Marlins on Sunday afternoon. It took an all-around effort for the crew to take this one. The offense waking up a little bit after a sleepy weekend at AmFam Field.
First one to him. Fly ball deep right. It is out of here, and the Brewers have the lead. Beware of the first pitch to Jake Bowers. That is his eighth home run of the season.
Yeah, that didn't take long. Jake Bowers On the hit, it's Jeff Levering on the call. Jake Bauer's been struggling offensively as of late. That was his first home run in over a month. That, coupled with back-to-back diving catches from Bryce Terang, who saved multiple runs because the bases were loaded, and of course, Devin Williams, fresh off his 60-day IL stint and his subsequent rehab start to have a scoreless ninth, all ingredients that it took to help the Brewers take home the win 6-2 over the Marlins. So, like I said, wasn't the best weekend, but listen to not only the coaching, but the life lessons that manager Pat Murphy hands down post game.
I just want them to understand how great they are, you know, and how they can bounce back and not to get down on themselves.
Okay, wait for it.
You know, wash it off. It might be hard sometimes.
You gotta do it.
But you gotta do it. Discipline, right? Doing what you're supposed to do.
What you're supposed to do, whether you like it or not.
Might be hard sometimes.
But you gotta do it.
Right. Worry.
Is it worth the time?
Brainwashing.
Listen, if you got your kids already repeating it, you know you got the locker room repeating it too. I mean, goodness gracious, that's just so awesome.
I thought that was Sal Frelick. No,
he could be here. They look just the same age too. Again, Brewers win 6-2. Then next up, they are taking on the Braves here at AmFam Field. Our coverage starts on WTMJ at 6 with Brewers warm up. Colin Ray on the hill this evening for the crew. On to the gridiron, a sign of relief from Packers fans. You want to hear what it sounded like collectively on Friday night, the news dump? Here's what it sounded like. Yeah, Jordan Love locked in for the next 4 years after this one, of course. $220 million contract extension to lock down Love in green and gold for the next foreseeable future. Now the Watson-Love connection already full go at practice.
You know, it felt good to be able to get one and just run by him. And, you know, Christian is the speed of the team right there. So to be able to hit him in stride and him make that play was it felt good to connect on that first day back for sure.
Feels good we can talk X's and O's too. I mean, we don't have to get too nitty gritty into the you know, practice and training camp and all that before the season starts. But again, like, we don't have to talk Love extension anymore. No practice for the Packers today. They resume tomorrow, but Jason Wilde joins the show live at 7:45. And hey, how about an Olympics update? We checked the medal count. As of right now, USA 3 gold medals already.
That's it? What?
2 in swimming, 1 in fencing. Too. Yeah, kind of some ground to cover. But again, early in the Olympics. The real gold, though, is our guy Snoop Dogg, right? Just becoming the face of the Olympics this year. Snoop has shown his broadcast talents in the booth with the Brewers, as we know. But how about this highlight call? Bonus points if you can guess what sport Snoop is calling.
Back and forth. Give me that. No, I need that. No, over here. No, over there. What about over there? No, what about there? No, give me that. I need that. That too. No, sit down somewhere. Get out. Wait a minute. Hold it way up in the sky. Now down. Back up, over there, now over here. Get out the way. Move, I told you we need that.
That was a good point.
What's a good point, Tirico? Any guesses on what he's calling?
Guess table tennis.
Nope.
No.
Badminton?
Badminton.
Yes, yeah, badminton.
Doubles.
Oh, most electric badminton call of all time. We're going to live to Paris for our Olympics report coming up next.
6:19. The summer games are underway in Paris, and it looks like we may have had another issue pop up. Let's get the latest from Inez de la Cantera from ABC News, who joins us live from Paris. Did we have another sabotage occur, Inez?
Yeah, the second one so far. It's bizarre. So we did hear that overnight the facilities of one of the main telephone operators in France, SFR, were vandalized. Unclear, you know, who could be behind that. We do understand, according to French media, that cables were cut in electrical cabinets. Some of the telephone operators' customers are affected. It's unclear how many people are affected. It's unclear if the Olympics themselves are going to be impacted by this. So this is all kind of breaking in just the last few hours. So we're still waiting for more information there, but certainly concerning, especially, you know, given the what we saw happening on Friday with the attack on the train network. So and, you know, of course, officials here on high alert. Security has been ramped up. So more to come on that, but certainly concerning.
Well, a dinged up Simone Biles returns to the Olympics, and so far so good, right?
That's right. Yeah, she is back in full force. So there were concerns for her after she had a weird landing during one of her warmups over the weekend. We saw her kind of limping around after that, but she pulled through. So this was for the gymnastics qualifiers, and she did amazingly well. She got an amazing score on vault. She pulled off two of her signature moves. So very cool to see her, you know, back on the mat, back in the spotlight. It's been really cool to watch. Suni Lee in gymnastics also doing really well. And the both of them qualified for the all-around final. So that means we'll have two champions coming face-to-face, both from the same country. That is the first time that's happened. So that is certainly something to watch.
ABC's Inés de la Cotera with us from Paris, talking Olympics. Another story that's kind of been up and down through the cycle, Inés, and we got an update on the Seine River, which is once again causing impacts to the swimming sessions of the Olympics. A training session just canceled 24 hours before a men's race was supposed to start. Are we working on getting this cleaned up? Is it sort of a go-as-we-go kind of situation right now?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that the Seine has been a big point of conversation ever since organizers said they wanted to hold some events in the Seine. Lots of skepticism. They want to hold triathlon and open water swimming in the Seine, but the water quality isn't great. And, you know, every time it rains, the issue is that the sewage overflows into the Seine. And you guys saw it rain during the opening ceremony on Friday. It was raining all throughout the day on Saturday. And so that has, again, caused bacteria levels to surge. So they did have to cancel a test event for the triathlon on Sunday. And again, this morning, the men's triathlon is set to be held tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. Organizers have said if the quality is not good enough by tomorrow, what could happen is they could delay the event by a couple of days, or they could decide to cancel the swimming portion of the competition. That would be very controversial because it would, you know, totally change the sport. So we'll see what happens. As of now, they're insisting it will be ready by tomorrow because the sun is back out and the sun acts as a disinfectant.
Before we let you go, what's going on today? What are you keeping your eye on?
Today, I think skateboarding is the big one. So skateboarding was supposed to be held on Saturday. It was postponed because of the rain, but skateboarding is new to the Olympics, so that is very exciting. And we do have high hopes for Team USA's Nyjah Huston, who is favored to medal in that. So I think that's the big one today. A few swimming events. But yeah, I think skateboarding will be really, really interesting.
All right. ABC's Inés de la Cotera. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Live from Paris. Didn't even get to ask her about Flava Flav. Hanging out with the First Lady, watching water polo.
Wow, that's... And I was noticing, too, while I was watching gymnastics, particularly with Simone, just how many U.S. celebrities, Tom Cruise, did I expect to see. I think they were making all these Tom Cruise Top Gun puns, and I just thought, oh, wow, that's just weird commentary. And then, boom, there he is. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, it's hot. Paris, man, that's the place to be.
Oh, yeah.
Now we can focus on football. That story at 6:45.
Terror for some and humor for others on a beach in New England over the weekend.
Dragonflies. Oh, my God.
Bathers on Musquamacut Beach in Rhode Island ran for cover as a massive swarm of dragonflies descended. Some likened it to an apocalypse. Others laughed it off. Dragonflies often swarm in summer breeding months or after smaller insects they feed on are kicked into the air by weather disturbances or human activity. They pose no danger to humans. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Except for that child I saw flown away. I'm just kidding. They didn't
there goes little Johnny. I've seen an elephant fly. Now I've seen Johnny fly. Yeah, I always have thought when the apocalypse happens, it's going to be very much like Deborah Rodriguez explained. Some scream in terror, others just laughing it off, cracking a beer open, sitting in the chair watching... The swarm.
We noticed that. It's funny. You watch some of the video, and there's all kinds of video of this. All these dragonflies invading this beach. There's some kids just kind of sunbathing, just hanging out, not letting it get to them.
You'll see it a lot up north right now this time of year because they really start to come out in mid to late summer. So if you're up on the lake, they'll be flying around, might have one plop into your forehead. But other than that, not like this. Nothing like what we saw in New England.
Coming up, a Hollywood shocker. No one saw it coming. That story next. Wisconsin's Morning News. Vince is back tomorrow. Eric Bilstead along with Adam Roberts.
Good morning, Eric. So, normally on Monday, you'd be talking box office. It'd be that there was a big score, and especially when Marvel is involved. Deadpool and Wolverine, once again, cleaning house, $205 million opening weekend. Best ever for an R-rated movie, by the way.
That's good just for anything, too. Yeah. Like, $205 for a weekend? I think that... was much better than they anticipated.
So you'd expect we'd be walking in with that if we were talking Marvel, but that is not the case because it was a shocker at Comic-Con over the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, as proof of the unimaginable possibilities in the Marvel multi-universe, we give you the one person who could play Victor Von Doom.
What? At a cause. And the crowd goes wild as it is revealed Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah, fan
will play
favorite.
The role of Dr. Doom.
Now, how does that work? Isn't he already in Marvel as the Iron Man guy?
No, he did.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, sorry.
Thanks for
spoiler alert.
Well, yeah, okay. But so then he's not Tony Stark anymore. He's just going to play a new character.
Yep. And we kind of see this in film franchises occasionally where a familiar face is like, hey, I don't know who that guy is. I am now Dr. Doom. I don't know who this Tony Stark individual is. Downey immediately reacting in real time.
New mask. Same task.
Great rhyme.
What did I tell you? I like playing complicated characters.
You know, I'll say this. Brilliant, brilliant maneuver for Marvel. Go with what works. And you know Robert Downey Jr. works, so you might as well.
And that's been the MO for the entire cinematic universe for these last 10, 15 years is, hey, we know the formula. We know what people want to see. And, I mean, Robert Downey was about as versatile an actor as you'll find in modern acting. So if there's anyone who can do it and already have the familiarity with the fan base and what they want to see, it's probably him.
Avengers Doomsday will come out May of 2026, followed by another Avengers movie in May of 2027.
And another three for every year in perpetuity until we all die.
Oh, yeah. Right, because it works. Mm-hmm. 6:44, sports in a minute.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Yeah, no sweep for you, Marlins. The Brewers, with the help of all involved, put together a team win, including a diving save with bases loaded. It's Bryce Terang.
1-2 pitch is lined into a diving stop by Terang. What a catch by Bryce. Ranging to his left. Full extension, he caught it just before it got to the dirt.
Lane Grindle on the call, 7 pitches later.
Crowd sensing the moment, putting their hands together to encourage Tobias. 3-2 pitch, lined into another diving catch by Terang. Behind the bag at second, and the Brewers get out of it. Oh, Bryce Terang, what a show he put on in the third.
Yeah, not to mention, bases loaded, everybody. Do not forget that. Bases loaded on those back-to-back catches. Oh, by the way, airbender Devin Williams, fresh off his 60-day IL stint. He's back as well. Devin tossing a scoreless 9th inning. The Brewers take down the Marlins 6-2. Next up for the crew, they host the Atlanta Braves tonight. Our coverage starts with Brewers warm-up right here on WTMJ at 6. And in the most Friday news dump of all time, Jordan Love finally got his extension. When did you get the notification? 8 p.m.?
It was late.
Are you serious? Sweet. Anyway, you can get mad all you want, like me, but he's signed. He's locked in $220 million over the next 4 years. That's one milestone that's done. On to the next.
You got a wedding to pay for, right?
I do. I'll be, you know, after the season, all that, but yeah, definitely. Price went up on the wedding, I guess.
Yeah, hope it was worth the holdout for you there, love. I'm just kidding. Good timing. The Packers off today, but Jason Wilde is, and he joins us next hour. And the coolest Olympic gold that has been handed out so far at the Olympics in Paris, 14-year-old Koko Yoshizawa takes home the gold in skateboarding. Let me say that again. 14 years old. She took home the gold in the women's division. So cool. So I looked it up. I was thinking that this would easily be the youngest Olympian at 14. There is a... Go ahead.
I was going to guess like 11 or something.
You're spot on. There's a Chinese skateboarder, Zhang Haohao, 11 years old.
Come on.
She's competing. 11. What is that even? I could not even fathom what that takes. 11? You're competing internationally? Good for you. Men's skateboarding happening right now, by the way. The medal round expected to take place this morning at 10 local time.
The best part about being 11 is that you don't know any better.
You don't even know what pressure is.
Yeah,
it's like if you look around, you're like, oh, there was a quote from that 11-year-old, and it's something to the tune of, I'm happy to get together with my friends. I'm glad there's no pressure on you.
My favorite player is LeBron
yeah,
James.
Seriously.
6:48. A couple of big stories that we are following this morning. President Biden this morning now officially proposing 3 significant reforms of the U.S. Supreme Court. He says in an op-ed that these changes would restore the trust and accountability to not just the Supreme Court, but also to the presidency. ABC's Stephen Portnoy running through some of the expectations in these proposals.
The president would have term limits put in place to end the service of a Supreme Court justice after 18 years. President Biden says that this would help ensure the court's membership regularly changes and that nominations for Supreme Court justices can become more predictable.
So 18-year term limits for justices. He's also calling for a constitutional amendment to ensure no president is immune from prosecution for crimes committed while in office. Then he has one more significant proposal from Stephen here.
The president is urging Congress to pass binding, enforceable ethics and conduct rules that would have the justices disclosing gifts and recusing themselves from cases in which they or their spouses have conflicts of interest.
So you got term limits. You want to impose some opportunity for the Supreme Court to police itself. What does a CBS legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum think of that?
In either case, Chief Justice Roberts is not going to be happy, and I'm not sure how many of the justices will publicly approve. The High Court believes that the separation of powers grants the court institutional independence. They will see this as a power grab.
In other words, don't tell me what to do.
I've got a cush gig over here. I'm set for life. What do you mean?
You're not the boss of me.
Right, yeah. And the expectation is obviously with only so many days left in President Biden's term that nothing will move on this, but it is a big push that he is moving forward on today. He's going to be in Austin today, by the way. Meanwhile, members of the local SWAT team that were on duty at the Butler, Pennsylvania Donald Trump rally, the one where Trump was shot at and he was hit in the ear, those members of that local SWAT team tell ABC News that there was a extreme lack of planning and communication resulted in the failure to protect a former president. They say they never even heard from the Secret Service. Here's a report that is going to come to Good Morning America here after the 7 o'clock hour. We got it early. Here's from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
These are the SWAT team members who were assigned to take up positions in defense of former President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. And they told us they had no communication with the Secret Service until after the gunfire started. This SWAT team saw the shooter. They recognized him as suspicious, even took pictures of him. None of the concerns, though, had a chance of reaching decision makers before Trump took the stage because of what these men and women described as failures of planning and communication.
We were supposed to get a face-to-face briefing with the Secret Service snipers whenever they arrived, and that never happened. So I think that that was probably a pivotal point where I started thinking things were wrong because that never happened, and we had no communication with the Secret Service.
You had no communication with the Secret Service at all on that Saturday?
Not until after the shooting.
And by then?
It was too late.
Not until after the shooting.
It's insane to think about how that happens when you, and we've both covered our fair share of presidential events and how far out it's like, hey, this is what's going to happen and we're preparing for it now. And to think that you wouldn't have any contact until after the shots have already been fired. It's unconscionable.
No doubt more questions will be asked tomorrow. There is another hearing. A Senate Judiciary and Homeland and Government Affairs Committee will hold a hearing. They will chat with the FBI deputy director, also the acting Secret Service director. Of course, as you know, Kimberly Cheadle, the former Secret Service director, is no more. So she won't be there, but the acting will be there. So more questions than answers still as they try to learn more about what happened on that Saturday earlier this month. Meanwhile, good news. We do have one of the victims that was hit, one of the spectators injured in that shooting at that Trump rally, is now out of the hospital. 6:57 here on Wisconsin's Morning News. Vince is back tomorrow. Eric Bilsett along with Adam Roberts. Debbie Lazka's got your odds. Thanks to Tiff Pua, our news director, for coming in. She's handling some newsroom duties. And of course, Greg Pancake Hill is on sports and on production and on keeping us on track and on answering the phones and on all the other stuff. Much more to get to coming up here at the top of the hour. We'll be in the headlines in 3 minutes.